Okay, well, while they're doing that, we'll get into the Word of God. Welcome those that are joining us live online. Good morning. I'm Pastor Rob. I'm the lead pastor of this church. And I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to John chapter 5, and we're going to look at God's Word this morning. When I say this morning, if you're watching online later, it could be any time of the day for you, but we're going to look at it right now. In John chapter 5, I apologize, there's something that talks about healing. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Now, I usually get dressed up. You all know that. You don't have to dress up to go to this church. I just want you to be aware of that. You come as you are in the sense of what you wear. It's all good. But some of us get dressed up. I actually had to shave. I trimmed. Some of us put on makeup, maybe perfume or cologne or that kind of stuff. But are we covering up or are we makeuping away what's really going on right here? Because this morning, honestly, I'm not doing super well. Been a bunch of things going on in my life, and it had been bothering me. And all of a sudden, on top of it all, I got to put my belt on. I came out with this belt in the mother's womb. It was a beautiful belt I've had forever. I went to just put it on. Ping! It just shattered into pieces. It's like, oh no, the sacred belt. You know, it's holy and anointed. I've had it for so many years. I've spoken hundreds of sermons wearing this belt, and now it's done. And so I'm a little emotional this morning over that whole experience. And so please pray for me. But, you know, seriously, though, when it comes to the things that we're suffering with, I really hope we can be transparent in the house of the Lord that actually there are things that we're not okay with, the things that we are suffering with. Don't look to your left or to your right because neither one of them is perfect. Every one of them's going through something. You're not alone. Don't ever feel like you come here, like, oh, you got to have it all together. You know, last Sunday you didn't come because you're like, I didn't have it all together. Like, come here with it not together, please, in Jesus' name. Be honest and transparent with one another because that's where healing comes from. And so I want to look at this piece of scripture for you. It's going to be wonderful. John chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And we'll look at this together. We're just going to read to verse 9. Now there was in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool. In Aramaic, it was called Bethsaida, in which it's surrounded by five covered colonnades. There is a great number that were disabled people used to live, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. Wow. When Jesus saw him laying there and he learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? That's the question this morning. Do you really want to get well? Like, seriously, do you actually want to be healed? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool where the water is stirred. While I was trying to get in, someone else goes in ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, forget this pool, in a sense. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. On that day, which this took place, was a Sabbath day. Oh my gosh, what a story. If we were to continue to read that, I just want to look at verses 1 to 9. If you would jump down to verse 14, though, it says this in 14. It says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you're well again. Look at that. Why is he well? What does that word say? Stop sinning. We get caught up on this, don't we? We think all of a sudden, like we look at each other, look at somebody else, look at your neighbor, you judge each other, say, there's got to be some sin in your life. You know, the disciples took that to heart. They said, oh, that's why he's sick, obviously. Watch what happens. Same book, John chapter 9. Just flip over a little bit. You got to understand this. Don't go around judging people. If you get an email from Jesus, if you get a text message from the Lord, if God speaks to you to say to somebody, you're sick because you got sin in your life, okay, go ahead. But if not, don't do it. Do not do that. We are not here to judge each other. We're here to love each other in Jesus' name. The disciples were just as confused as that verse was. Watch what goes. John chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Disciples are thinking this way. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because they heard Jesus say it before. And now they're thinking that this is the cookie cutter reason people are sick and unhealthy and blind and lame. Verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. Praise God. Thank you. Right out of Jesus' mouth. Who's got the red letter Bible? Right out of Jesus' mouth. But this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Whoa. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. But maybe, just maybe, I'll be going through this so that when I get healed, not if, but when, it might be a testimony or story to help somebody else. Maybe that's why it's in my life. So we don't kind of like celebrate sickness. Oh, praise God, I'm sick because God wants to heal me of it so that it can be a story. Like, no, I hate sickness. I want to get it out of your life. I want to get it out of your life. I get it. But if it happens, don't lose focus of what it is. All of a sudden you're like, maybe I got to take a shower. I got to get all this sickness. I got to get all this sin out of my life. Maybe it isn't that. So be very gentle on yourself and be very gentle on other people. Don't judge them. Let me just say that again. Super important to know. You just never know the reason. Okay. Serious situation. Lots of us know this. We went on holidays to Prince George. We were driving back on the way home. We needed dinner. And so we stopped in Smithers. We thought, okay, let's eat lunch. I'm very strategic. I'm a planner. We eat lunch. We'll drive to Smithers, and then we'll eat dinner at this restaurant. It's getting renovated. Like, I'm on my vacation. I need this restaurant to be open. And so we get a snack. And so we thought, well, let's get a snack and tide us over until we get to Terrace. So we get to Terrace. The same restaurant's here. I don't like to promote restaurants. I just want you to say, you'll get what it is. So we go to this restaurant. All my kids order. My wife orders. It comes to me. You know my issues and my sickness? There's only three items on that flipping menu that I can order that's not gluten, that has gluten in it. Like, everything has gluten in it. Like, water has gluten in it. I'm joking, but so I order this thing, and they look at me and they say, it's actually not available today. Now I'm down to two items. It's either the thing they didn't have or rabbit food, the salad. So after a long drive from Prince George, all my holidays, I just want to eat. I just want to, like, gorge myself in something, and I'm stuck with a salad for crying out loud. There was a moment I was like, don't cry. It was a long drive. It was very emotional. I was very hungry. The whole drive, I was like, oh, it's going to taste so glorious. And then I couldn't eat it. Like, I know that that was a small situation, but it was bothersome to me. And what kind of situation are we going through? I mean, I can laugh that one off, but there's some situations where because I can't eat gluten because of my autoimmune disease and all these kind of things I've been diagnosed with, all these medications I take, not getting better 3 years, that can be a bit frustrating. So in that moment, I wasn't frustrated at the menu or the waitress. I was frustrated at what was going on inside of me. Like, I honestly almost ordered gluten. I was like, I don't even care right now. I'm on holidays. I'm going to eat some honking gluten in Jesus' name. And I'll pray that it doesn't make me sick in Jesus' name. But I did. Anyways, I resisted. Just so you know, I resisted the devil, that gluten devil-y thing. But let's look at the scripture before we get too bent out of shape. I just needed to get that off my chest. I feel so much better now. Okay, back to verse 1 here. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Jews. Now, we've got to understand what those feasts were. And I'm so excited about what's happening this coming Friday with this guy, Roy Stanley. He's a Jewish missionary from Israel. He's coming to our church to have a Passover Seder meal with us. 100 people I know bought tickets, and we're all going to hang out together. Because at these feasts, this could have been what we'd say the Feast of Passover, of unleavened bread, or the Feast of Weeks, maybe Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And as we get to understand these feasts, the Word of God comes alive to us. And so when we sit down to this meal this coming Friday that won't have gluten in it, in Jesus' name, I'll be able to eat it, and then we'll be able to understand a bit more of Scripture, what that means to us. So it's super important to understand that. And so when we look at the feast, these people from, as Jewish males, they had to come every year to Jerusalem and to offer sacrifices to these different feasts 3 times a year. And evidence kind of points towards the Feast of Tabernacles. It doesn't really matter too much for the story if you want to kind of wrestle through that with me later on. But where they went to, where this pool was, where Jesus found this guy, was a place called Bethsaida. Now, archaeologists have dug up this location, and it suggests about this story that is the right location, and even that other people, like other nations, as they took over Jerusalem, they made it a place of pagan worship. And so I got a picture here of it this morning, of the god that they used to worship, as it was a pagan god at that point. And so you can see the staff that he's holding to our current day medical system. Isn't that interesting? That it became a pool of healing. And so we've just adopted that kind of thought all these years later. And it's contrary to Jesus healing. It's just a thing that they thought, well, maybe this world has something to offer here. So let me unpack this idea with you just a little bit more. See, it seems to be that at that time, when the pagan gods would worship at this pool, they thought that, hey, every so often the pool would actually stir up. And the first person that jumped in the pool, like cannonballed, like woohoo, you know, first person dived in, they got healed. That's what they thought. They thought that angels kind of stirred the water. First person in gets healed. That's what they were like, this is an anointed place. And it didn't typically happen. And that's why this guy was here for 38 years, waiting, not getting healed, looking to the wrong things for his healing. Ooh, isn't that just powerful to think about? So this shrine, it wasn't successful, even though people kept going to it. And then Jesus shows up one day on the scene. And he sees these people that are sick, waiting to get in the water. And he calls out to one of them, do you actually want to be healed? Or are you just happy in your sickness? Are you just happy lounging around? You just made a way of life just kind of living here. You've just accepted your sickness and you don't really want to get well. Man, isn't that powerful? And Jesus steps into that situation. So when you read it and you begin to understand it like that, you're like, wow, that's just unbelievable how Jesus enters that situation, just speaks right into it. Because what's happening in that moment is that the people are looking to the things that are created. See, now, at some point, you know, the Jerusalem was kind of ransacked and people moved in and they thought, hey, this place is anointed. Let's just kind of use it for our good or for our glory. But they didn't worship the true God. They didn't go for the right reasons. And so there was no healing going on. Because what was created is what they were looking to. They were looking to creation, the created things. But when God comes in, he brings new creation. He brings things in the spiritual realm. You can't worship created things. Oh, my belt. Oh, my soul. Don't worship my belt. If I don't got to preach as good this morning because I don't have my anointed belt on. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, if we think that way, I know it's funny to think about, but we do that sometimes. If I don't have this, you know, it's not going to be okay. And so, when we look at what's being said here as well, we've got to understand that when Jesus looks at him, when we look at the original language here, Jesus isn't saying to him, do you want to get better? He's saying, do you want to be resurrected? Do you want something brand new to happen in you? Because you're physically dead, and there's a sign of it, a part of your body that's dead that doesn't even work. Do you want somebody to come and fix that? Almost like a mechanic, you know, yeah, who's got cars with these, you know, computers nowadays? You look at it thinking, if I touch it, it's going to break. You got to go take it to a specialist who can work on it properly. Well, we got to take our stuff to the specialist of Jesus, who's the only one that can actually fix us and help us and work on us because he brings something brand new. It's like when we lay hands on people, we say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Well, what you're asking for is cells to actually be created, that cancer would die and that new cells would come to life. You can't do that on your own. You can't do that with just your thinking or with some kind of, you know, oil or something. It's God has to create something in somebody. You know, if somebody is broken, like their legs are broken or something, and you pray for them, you're not praying again that, oh God, you know, in 6 months, could you just, you know, you're asking God to do something miraculous that only he can do. This guy couldn't just pick up his mat, like 38 years. Do you understand that? You know, think about this in a doctor's mind. They would say, okay, 30 years. Okay, part of those muscle groups are gone. They're actually broken. He hasn't used them in 38 years. Okay, we'll bring some healing. Let's get him on the treadmill thing or, you know, this little walker thing, and we'll get him doing some exercises. We'll do that for 38 years, and hopefully he'll walk one day. No, miraculously, all of a sudden, muscles grew, or like the guy that's blind in chapter 9, all of a sudden, things were just restored like they were supposed to originally. That is unbelievable. That's the kind of God that we serve, that something is so broken that God can walk in that situation and make it brand new. It's almost like why we're so, maybe just me, I apologize if it's just me, when somebody is sleight of hand, oh man, magic or magicians, when they got these coins or this card, it's like, like we had this buddy we brought up north who was so cool with sleight of hand, so short sleeve shirt, and just like this right in front of you, just going, just throwing cards out, two decks of cards out of thin air. Like, where did those come from? You know, and I know it's sleight of hand, and you know, he's not like some kind of witch doctor or something weird. But you know, that's interesting. Look at what he's doing there. That's the kind of God that we serve. When you see something that's so miraculous, you're like, whoa, nobody else could do that. Nothing else could do that. That's the kind of God that we serve and the kind of things that he does. Because things that are happening right now in our world are things like all kinds of trends and theories are coming apart at the seams. And people are looking to a different way of life. They're saying, this way sucks and stinks. I need something better. So they're looking. Did you know that people just kind of come off the streets and they're looking? And prior to restrictions, the church in attendance actually was declining. And when restrictions happened, we came out of that the last 3 years, the church is exploding. Because people are going, look what the world has to offer. There's no hope in that. I got to find a different hope. And they're looking to God. They're looking to Jesus. This is an answer to our prayers. We say, oh, this bad stuff's happening. It might be an answer to the prayer. Because you got to get shaken up. You got to get to your rock bottom before you're going to turn to Christ. Realize that everything I have is worthless apart from having Christ in my life. I didn't like my belt a lot. I'm going to go there. My last time, I promise. Like for 3 years. It's gonzo, never getting it back. I don't even care how much I lay my hands on that belt. It's not going to be restored. It is busted. Now, I know some of you are already thinking, like, I'm going to buy the guy a new belt. No, I'm going to Vancouver next week. I'm buying myself a new belt. I'll be okay. I'll be better by next Sunday, I promise. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 2. Let's look at the second verse here. Now, there in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate Pool, which is in Aramaic, was called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. People often gathered and conversed near these public baths. Again, the archaeologists have dug that place up. If you go there today, you go to Jerusalem, you can actually see this place now. It wasn't there before. They dug it up. They found it. And this is what it looks like. So I've got a picture here of this pool. And so it's just massive. It's divided in two. And so you can kind of see where those columns are. I've actually been around these places. And so I've seen these like massive stone structures that hold up a big column that hold up where you could kind of meet. You kind of meet under the porch, and so it's a safe place for you if you want to get in the pool. Usually, you know, it was about 20 feet deep. It's the size of a football field. It's just massive. And maybe the idea is that it's in two pools because maybe there's some gender differences going on there, male and female in the pools. I don't know. I'm not totally sold on that idea, but there it is structurally, so we could see that there. This structure, it has pillars, though. It doesn't have platforms, in a sense. So often, we look for positions and platforms in our lives. But what we need is grounded pillars in the faith. The people that we look to are people like that, not people with positions or titles. Now, just let me share something about my own position and title, just for fun with you, because I want you to understand something of how much it doesn't mean to me a lot. So I've got a slide here. I'm going down to our district conference next week because our district superintendent is getting replaced. So we see the BC and Yukon district. That's what we're a part of, BC, Yukon, over 200 churches. And so the district officers, one of the district officers, the district superintendent, Ken Russell, who's been doing the job for 20 years, as long as I've been pastoring, he got voted in when I became a pastor. He's resigning. That's okay. He's a bit older. It's a good thing to do. And so they're looking at replacing him. So I'm going down there to vote for the next guy. And I go, wow, that's really fun. That'll be great. And so, you know, I'm a local pastor. I have always served as a section pastor, which kind of oversees, you know, we help oversee from High to Guide to Prince George. I help bring oversight to this section. So for the second time, though, I'm getting, my name's getting pushed forward for the district leadership team. It's a small group of people that sit with the district officers and help bring direction to our denomination, to our section, and to the POC as a whole over Canada. Wow, what a position. The last time my name got put forward, I got like 2 votes. It was brutal. It was terrible. Nobody knew me. It was all good. And so I laugh with you because I don't need that position. If the district thinks they have value for me to sit around the table and lean in, great, I'll serve that. Just so you know as well, so Marketplace Canada has looked, and I'm becoming a marketplace chaplain. I get to go into businesses, and I got my little card here this morning with you. exemptual employee care, Rob Young, not Pastor Rob Young, because you go into a business, you don't kind of first start with that. So you look at that and you say, it's a great business. Marketplace chaplains exist to share God's word and the love of the workplace by providing an employee care service through chaplain teams. And so I did retail for 10 years before I became a pastor. So now I've got this position. Who gives a donkey's rear end? Like, seriously. I'm a lead pastor of one of the biggest churches in our district. Who cares? Because if I'm going to stand on a platform, I better be grounded. And I better be a pillar in my thoughts, in my actions, in my attitude, in my way of living. And like, positions don't mean anything. It just means you're on a platform that you can fall from. Pillars in our church that have been there for their whole lives are people we look to and we admire and we want to be like. Those are the kind of people that this is referring to. God is a pillar. And when you have pillars and structures like that, you can come under that and feel safe. Because if you're just looking to people in positions and people with like celebrity kind of style things, like we're missing the mark. You're looking to the wrong thing. Please don't look to me. Look to Christ. Look to his word. Look to those that have followed that all their lives. Those are pillars that we want to mirror our lives after. This church has many pillars here. We need more pillars here. Please stay the long haul. Stay forever. Lean in. Don't run away, no matter what goes on in your life. Okay, a little tangent there, but we're okay. Verse 5. One who was there and had been an invalid for 38 years. This man had been sick longer than at that point in history than some people live their lives. So many sicknesses and illnesses, the average age wasn't much past that in a sense. It was a short time that you were around because of, they just didn't have doctors, didn't have medicine, all these kind of things. It's almost as long as the Israelites wandered around in the desert. You can imagine those people just wandering around like, one day we might go to that promised land, but no, we're going to stay stuck here. We're going to stay stuck. I don't know if we can trust God, that God will bring us out of this. It's the same amount of time. Isn't that just a deep thought? Ancient reports of healings often were pointing to sick people so that they could celebrate the greatness of the healer's cure. And so obviously this pool wasn't successful in doing that. So if you had heard back in the ancient days, like somebody got healed, it would be like, who healed them? Isn't that a question that we often get? When somebody gets healed, all the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all ask, who did that? They want to know. Because that was something that they always wanted to know. Who and what God could we point to for that healing? Because then we're going to run and worship him. And every time it was like, our one true God healed me. And they're, no. Didn't want to accept that. I wonder today, if somebody got healed in this service today, and you went out into the world and you told them who healed you, that a heavenly Father healed me in a Pentecostal church, would the world accept that? Or would they say, it's just a coincidence, maybe that medication you're on or whatever, right? They just brush it off. But we all know. I want to say something. Please don't get offended. Let me make the point before you jump to conclusions. Does that make sense? Can I just finish and it will make sense? Because when I first start talking, you might be like, that's kind of our healing and comfort. It doesn't come in the form of a bottle, a self-help book, counseling. All those are helpful. I take medications. I have books. I see counselors. But my greatest healing, my greatest comfort is in a person, and his name is Jesus. And I hope you know him. These things are okay, but the best thing you can do, if you do those things and you don't do Jesus, you're in trouble. Yeah. If you do these things, praise God, that's okay. But Jesus has got to be there as well. It's got to be greater than those other things. So are you okay with that? I apologize. I know like lots of us, I'm on medication. I get counseling. I look to other things, but Jesus is the answer. Okay, last verse here, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you actually want to get well? And so for 38 years, this man's problem had become a way of life. This is just who I am. This is just the way it is. I'm never going to get better. No one's ever helped me. No one's ever shown me any hope. I've never been healed. I don't really have any desire to get better. I felt trapped. I felt like there's no hope. And there's this hardship and there's this loss. And it feels like this is just my condition now. It's just who I am. And Jesus comes into that situation and he brings life to you and I. Wow, isn't that unbelievable? I want to finish off this morning, so I wanted to make sure I kept my message short, if that felt short. We're going to worship in just a second. I'm going to just pray, but I want to invite you. And so somebody might be listening to this, maybe not this morning, maybe there's some listening, but somebody might be listening years later. And I want to invite you to receive healing today. And the people I'm talking to, I really felt strongly about this last night as I was preparing, that there's just a natural crowd of you, which I'm grateful for, that you know me. You know, I've been here 7 years. You trust me. You will respond like when Almi and I said, could we pray with you just one day and just anoint you with oil? Do you remember almost like everybody lined up in the church? And many of you had to wait over an hour. So I'm grateful for that. But I want to talk to the people that don't usually respond. You're like, altar calls, you know, that's out of my comfort zone. I don't know you. You don't trust me yet. And that's fine. I respect that. But I'm talking to you right now. God is asking you, do you want to get better? And I believe with all of my heart that every minute of every day, somewhere on the planet, somebody's getting healed. Why not you? Why not this morning? If one person, just one, wow. I hope it's, I feel selfish all of a sudden. I actually want to get healed. I'm sick and tired of being able to eat my delicious God-given gluten that he put on this planet. I want that. I want to eat it and I want to consume it. It's going to be delicious. But I can't right now because I know how it makes me feel. But I want you to be healed more than I want me to be healed. I can still function. I still go through my day, you know, boo-hoo, whammy, I can't eat certain things. Lost my belt. But for you, four times I got it in there, one more time. But more than my healing, I want you to get better. And so many of us are going to come. I thank you to do that. But I really want you, if you're feeling like, you don't do altars, you know, you're already feeling like, that's not me. Nice. I double dog dare you to come forward. What if? Why not? You don't know. So let the Lord be the deciding factor of that. Okay, so let's close in prayer, and then I will invite you in just a second. So Father, in Jesus' name, what a absolute pleasure it is to look into your word that is speaking to us still today. And so Father, we've come here with all of our anxieties and worries and frustrations and sicknesses and illnesses, and we've tried to put our best foot forward in a sense. We got out of bed, we put food in our mouths, and we put some clothes on, and we showed up because we wanted something to change. We came here desiring something. So please, oh God, meet our needs here this morning, Father, in a deep way, not a superficial way, but in a real way. Like a real way. Father, I've had so many stories in the years that Almi and I have been here where people come to me and I'm not even preaching on salvation. Somebody says, I got saved this morning. Or, you know, I'm talking about, you know, fasting, and somebody will say, oh, I just got healed this morning. What, God, you're doing something. These are your people and they need help. We need help, Lord. We can't accomplish the things sometimes it feels like without a touch from heaven. So God, we're asking, would you come and would you touch and would you heal us individually? Would you heal us as a church? And you know my heart, Father, always like, I think outside of these four walls, would you heal Terrace? Would you heal Thornhill? Lord, we've been rebellious and ungodly and we've looked to all kinds of the, you know, things that of this world. We've taken our eyes off of you, we've turned our back on you. Would you reach down and heal us and help us to understand how much you care and love for us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.